News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
A lot of talk on the text line. A lot of typed out talk on the text line. They talk if they're calling us, but they're texting us.
Well, a lot of times, voice to text. Those are the ones that we can't read.
True.
Literally can't read them.
But anyway, they're stuck on the $1 million bill that I had in my News of the Fools. Lady trying to buy some gift cards at a Dollar General. Dollar General, not as in a $1 million general.
Yes, I'll take the store, the entire store.
Yeah, so then now everyone's telling us what the biggest bill is and who's on it. And I replied that on the $1 million bill was new Jeopardy host Aaron Rodgers. It was his face, not the football Aaron Rodgers, but the new spiffed up guy in a three-piece suit looking
fancy
good.
Schmancy Aaron
Rodgers.
Good. Yeah,
he's good on Jeopardy, by the way.
So Jay says that $100,000 bill back in 1934 was the largest bill printed. That one used only for bank-to-bank transfers. And David says, largest bill ever printed by the government for use for, I guess, normal people was very rich people, a $10,000 note. Hmm. And David actually wrong. He said that has Woodrow Wilson's face on it. I looked it up. Some guy from back in the day named Salmon, like the fish,
yep.
Salmon P. Chase.
Oh, first name Salmon.
First name Salmon is the face of the $10,000 bill. He was the governor of Ohio and was the secretary of Treasury under Abraham Lincoln. So there you go. There's your currency world history news this morning for Mobile Mornings.
Octopus J. McDougal, who is governor of Illinois. He's not on any of those?
No, he was $10,000 in debt, that guy.
Well,
not Salmon P. Chase, the face of the $10,000 bill.
Georgia's new voting law has sparked outrage from Democrats, even been called Jim Crow on steroids by President Biden. But many of its provisions have got governed elections in other states across the country. The provisions have been found in other states. So where's the truth lie?
Mm-hmm.
And earlier today, I heard a conversation with Sarah Westwood from the Washington Examiner. That's where Quinn Hillier, he'll be on with us tomorrow. He contributes to the Washington Examiner. She investigated. Here is some of what Sarah Westwood found with the new Georgia voting law.
Well, what we did here was we took a look at the major provisions in the Georgia law concerning early in-person voting times, mail-in voting, voter ID rules, and things like that, and just compared them to what other states are doing in those areas. And what we found was that the Georgia law, although it has been characterized as very restrictive, really brings the Peach State's voting rules in line with what a lot of other states are doing. And in some areas, the Georgia law is actually more permissive than even some Democratic states. So there has been a lot of misinformation floating around about what the Georgia bill does. And on balance, in a lot of ways, this Georgia law actually expands access to voting, particularly in-person voting. And so it's really a mischaracterization to say that it does restrict Georgians from casting their ballot.
So I think that they were really caught off guard with all the backlash because they didn't think they did anything that could be construed as racist or suppressive at all, you know?
Yeah, I think if anything, the Republicans in the Georgia legislature or assembly probably thought they would be cheered on, if anything, from the left for kind of opening up more avenues for voting.
I agree. In some ways, she talks about the bill is more permissive than other states, and here she points out how and where.
Well, when it comes to early in-person voting, we saw that Georgia expanded the window of time when people can show up at the polls and cast their ballots in person. They now have at least 17 days before Election Day to do that, perhaps up to 19 if counties exercise the now optional weekend voting options that the bill stipulates. That's more than some of these other blue states where prominent critics of the law hail from. Senator Elizabeth Warren, for example, has been very outspoken about what she calls the voter suppression measures in this bill. But in Massachusetts, voters have only 11 days to cast their ballots early and in person. And in Delaware, there is no early in-person voting. Now, there will be a maximum of 10 days in further elections because Delaware has updated its voting rules recently, but that is still far less than what Georgia is allowing now. So that's just one example of where the Georgia law is expanding the time that people have to go to the polls.
So why don't we just deal with the facts?
Because
and not emotion. And I mean, they've kind of embarrassed themselves a little bit now with these big moves. Mm-hmm. There's the Delta, Coca-Cola, where their CEOs are coming out saying that that this is a terrible law. The Atlanta Braves being penalized by Major League Baseball taking the All-Star game out of Atlanta. And then you get an investigative reporter trying to be fair, mm-hmm. and as she's being fair about it, it looks like there's not really an issue.
Yeah, I don't think they're embarrassed, these companies that are making big moves like this. I think that's the way the game is played now, that they do what they do based on the response they feel it will get from Twitter and Facebook, and usually the most outspoken on those sites, first off, they don't use... Yeah, they're left, don't use a real image of themselves, use a fake name, and then just spew outrage anytime some decision like this is made. And you have entire, you know, multi-billion dollar companies now basing decisions that they make off of
Twitter reaction.
Off of Twitter reaction.
And so, it comes down to maybe voter ID. Here's what she's got to say about that.
Well, the voter ID requirement has gotten a lot of tension in the Georgia law. This is an area where voting rights advocates often say requiring IDs to vote disproportionately affects voters of color. But all the Georgia law did was extend pre-existing ID rules. You already have to show identification to vote in person in Georgia to mail-in voting. Signature matching was a big problem in Georgia and other states in 2020. That is when election workers would verify a ballot by checking the voter's signature on the ballot against their signature from when they first registered to vote. That's a really subjective process. It's up to the volunteers or the election workers to decide whether the signature sufficiently matches. Now, in order to verify your absentee ballot, request that you have to provide your driver's license number or your state ID number, or if you don't have one, you can use the last four digits of your social security number.
What's so hard about that?
It sounds so simple. And we got a text here from Paul. Paul said it's all about non-verified voting. And I agree 100%. This isn't about Jim Crow, Jim Eagle, racism, even though that's what is being used in this instance to say that Georgia is being racist by changing the rules the way they did. But it's all about the mail-in voting. And I've never understood how signature matching was ever a real thing and actually, you know, depended upon to actually, you know, count the number of votes, because that just seems so difficult on its face.
Yeah, and if all you have to do is provide the last four numbers of your social security number,
that's
how in the world is that suppressing the vote?
It's all about Georgia being a purple state, being a toss-up now. It's no longer firmly in Republicans' hands, and I think Democrats hate any kind of rule that might change that.
Poof. 8:15, FM Talk 106.5. What a weekend it was on a number of fronts. We'll get to that on the way. Morning from Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig, 820, FM Talk 106.5. I would like to extend my thank you.
You're welcome.
To Boatler Richardson Wolf.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm thanking him for, Dalton?
What's that?
They don't have those stupid, ridiculous lawyer commercials on TV that are insult everybody's intelligence.
Uh-huh.
And some guy from out of town, and give him a call and whatever. You know, these guys are right here. A lot of you know them. They're located at Dolphin and I-65. You don't get any more mobile than that. Right there. There they are. Right there on 65 at Dolphin Street in the Bancor building. And so if you've got something going on and you think you've got a claim, talk to them. Just meet with them. It's not going to cost you a dime when you sit down and talk with Boatler Richardson Wolf, and they'll size it up for you. They'll figure out if you've got something going on that maybe you've got a claim. The quality of their work is reflected in their reputation in the community, and also the fact that other lawyers will recommend them to their clients. So local attorneys, not some guys from out of town doing crazy commercials, and people that can advocate for you, and they know your They know where you're from. You know where they're from. They'll get it. If you've been hurt on the job or maybe an auto accident, something where you think, I've got a claim here, call them anytime, 251-433-7766. That's 251-433-7766. Really good guys. Down to earth. They'll meet with you for no cost for that first session. Boatler, Richardson, Wolf, BRWLawyers.com.
So we're talking about the new Georgia voting laws and kind of the outcry from those on the left about that, and what people on the right are thinking about the same thing. And we'll head to the text line here in just a minute, but first to the phones. And what, Dave? Dave's on the line
Foley.
Here from Foley.
Morning.
Hey, Dave.
Good morning.
Morning.
What's up, Dave?
Oh, you were talking about currency a while ago. Have we got a weigh-in from the resident experts at Mobile Bay Coin yet?
We have not. It's a little early. I should probably send a call over there and see if they can weigh in on this.
Maybe Dave over there can help.
That is a very good point. He's our home team expert. We have not reached out to him yet. So thank you, Dave. Appreciate it.
All right. Okay, have a great day. Thanks.
You got it.
They would for sure know every question we have about the currency, the largest bill ever was. So I'll have to give them a call a little bit later.
Quiz them and see if they think that Aaron Rodgers, as the Jeopardy host, is on the $1 million bill or not.
Looking at the text line, Ben says, what would you say Delta Airlines' position is on photo ID in order to board a flight? I think we all know what the answer is there.
We do know the answer.
You have to have ID to board the flight.
Federal regulation right there.
But they feel that somehow having to show some form, not just a photo ID, but some form of identification, Delta feels is a step too far for voter rights in Georgia. Ben, another Ben, says, Twitter is the place people sitting at home eating a steak go to yell at other people for eating meat. Blows my mind how companies and organizations take it so seriously. And they do. And it almost seems like they're taking it seriously now, about 3 or 4 years after it was in vogue to take Twitter seriously. Like
it's out of vogue now to take it seriously.
Exactly.
And what's the percentage of Americans that are actually on that?
I've seen so many breakdowns. It's very, very small.
Yes.
Now, Facebook, even compared to Twitter, Facebook is a much bigger monster.
Yeah.
But still, even if you're basing company decisions on how it will be received or perceived on Facebook.
Twitter. Oh, on Facebook, okay.
Even Facebook, it's kind of, it's ridiculous.
Should you set your policy depending on that reaction?
And I'm wondering whether it's MLB or Coke or Delta or Nike in so many cases, who is it that's making that call?
Mm-hmm.
It would have to be from the very top down, right? They're not letting somebody 3 or 4 stages below the CEO make possibly, business-changing decisions like this.
That's a good point. And here's the thing, too, that I've read. I wasn't in the meetings when they crafted the Georgia law. But guess who was?
Who?
Delta.
They helped.
Coca-Cola. Right. They had representatives at the meetings, or they made their wishes known.
Mm-hmm.
They signed off on it. Wink, wink. Okay, good deal. And suddenly they reverse course.
And they completely turn as soon as it's released.
As soon as the heat got hot.
Another instance of hypocrisy here. Rogers says, I work for Coca-Cola. You're required to have a company-issued ID to enter any facility. What's that about? It's because
voter suppression in Tillman's Corner at the Coca-Cola bottling company. Here.
It's because Georgia is a purple state now. And remember, we were talking with Jeff Poor and a number of journalists who said, listen, Georgia, in this 2020 election, Georgia is really up for grabs. And it's possible that Trump loses the 2020 election to Biden. And it's even possible that one or both of the Senate seats go Democrat. We saw what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Trump lost. And now, still a debated loss by many on the right, but Trump lost. And then both the Senate seats that were up for grabs, both went left. And that's what the Democrats are looking at now. So this past election, absentee voting, no excuse absentee voting, was allowed in Georgia, just like so many other states, where traditionally no excuse absentee voting just had not been a thing like it was this past election.
Right.
They blamed it on the pandemic. Okay. Republicans bowed to that. They said, that's fine. You're right. Pandemic. We probably need to
new rules.
Let this happen the way it is. But it's only for this election, right?
Mm-hmm.
Republicans, in good faith, thinking things would at some point go back to the way they always have been. And even though these new rules really open it up, I mean, more early voting now allowed in Georgia than there ever had been legally. So many rules have now been lifted that I thought the right would be upset with this, not the left. But the left are coming out, and I think this is solely based on, they say it's the water in line rule, the line warming rule. You can't even give water out to people that are waiting in these lines. That's bunk, the entire thing about that, completely based on a lie. But what they're really upset about is no longer having signature-matched voting, mail-in voting. Mm-hmm. You have to put either a copy of your ID. It's actually wide open. I've got it listed right here what all you can use in when you do this this voting like this. It is, let's see.
One of them is last four of your social.
Right. Last four of your social, even a utility bill. If you don't have a social security number on you and you don't have an ID that you can copy and put an image in their ID or any form of ID, whether it's a passport or a driver's ID, but you could put a utility bill in there that proves that you're a citizen of Georgia and that you're meant to vote in Georgia elections. And they're acting like it's Jim Crow. Such a loaded term there.
Absolutely.
For everything that's ever happened in the history of U.S. and voting and racism.
Could not be more loaded.
It's such a loaded term when it's doing the exact opposite.
You brought up the pandemic and drop boxes. And here one more time is Sarah Westwood.
Drop boxes have never been allowed in Georgia, but Georgia's governor, Brian Kemp, authorized them on an emergency basis in 2020. So critics of this law have said that the Georgia law eliminates drop boxes or limits the opportunities that Georgia voters have to use them. But in reality, this law authorizes them for the first time. And they join a very small number of states, just eight other states, that have actual laws permitting the use of ballot drop boxes on the books. So this is actually expanding opportunities that Georgians did not have before the pandemic. But the outrage over limiting the drop boxes in the Georgia law, if you hear critics talk about it, they'll characterize it as a limitation. That's sort of in line with a lot of the outrage we're seeing over states that are trying to return to pre-COVID election rules. They're characterizing any attempts to go back to what it was before the pandemic as stripping Americans of their rights.
That's what you said. And so it's not, drop boxes have not been eliminated in Georgia. They've been minimized. The drop boxes did not exist. Then they did exist because of COVID, and now there's only going to be one drop box per whatever. Mm-hmm. There's not going to be as many drop boxes, and they're screaming foul on that.
And I think even though it was done in good faith, I think the Republicans really messed up by not fighting some of these expanded voting rules going into the 2020 election, because they thought things would change back to how they were before the pandemic. And just like when taxes are raised on American people, you're not going to get those taxes back. Nope. They're not going to turn that rule around. Same thing with the Democrats and these new voting laws.
Let's argue about the truth. Let's figure out what the truth is. Then we can have our disagreement about the truth. It's 830 FM Talk 106.5.
FM Talk 106.5. You're listening to Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig. Right now it's time to head over to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, doing great here at the FM Talk studios, but I want to talk about the great deals at McConnell. What you got for us this week?
That's right. Well, first off, I want to thank everybody for coming in Saturday. We had a great day. We're going to be the used truck capital of the world, I think. Man, we've been buying some trucks, and they're on the way in. These truckers, they want to deliver them real quick for us, so we can get them in here, get them certified, get them out on the lot, and get them sold to y'all. Also, don't forget, you live down at Gulf Shores, had that unfortunate hailstorm down there. Don't forget, we got the best body shop in Mobile. Any car, GM, Mercedes, Nissan, Acura, anything you drive that had hail damage or something, just give our great guys back there in the body shop a call, 251-476-4141. Check out all the deals and all the trades we got in this weekend online at McConnellAutomotive.com. And if you got any questions, call Gene or I, Robert, 251-476-4141.
All right. It's the place to be no matter what you need. Thank you, Louie.
Thank you.
That's Louie Ratta. You'll find him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and online, McConnellAutomotive.com.
So the storm woke me up Saturday morning around 3:30, and then we had that hour was verified by one of the people to Petrie talked to.
Yes.
A young mother. She said around 3:30 the storm was going crazy at the condo there. Imagine coming down to Gulf Shores, Orange Beach, on vacation. A lot of people were on vacation. They had to be rocked out of their world with that thing.
Seriously, yeah. Somebody texted us earlier that they were in a camper at the Gulf State Park. I can't imagine what that was like, having
a bad experience.
Because, I mean, if you haven't seen photos of the hail, at least 4 inches in diameter, at least. And I'm not sure. There had to have been one that was even bigger than that measured at some point on Saturday morning. But the damage that hail can do when it gets that size. We've been seeing pictures of roofs that look like they've been in like a drive-by shooting or something, just completely torn apart.
Windshields and car windows just completely shattered, and cars damaged to the point where they're going to be totaled.
Yeah.
That's hard to believe.
It's insane.
You know, you think, oh, wow, how unfortunate my car got caught in a hailstorm. You think, you know, some dents on the hood and things like that. These cars have been totaled. It's crazy.
Yeah, I've never seen hail that big, that's for sure. And I, just like you were bringing up this morning, did a person not get hit by that hail? I mean, it seems
you know what saved the day? It was 3:30 in the morning.
Yeah, with it being an overnight storm. Yeah, I'm sure you're right, because if that had come through at, you know, middle of the day, somebody would have got caught in the noggin, right? For
pulverized,
sure.
Pulverized. By hail. And imagine you're on the beach and you're like, uh-oh, we have to gather everything up.
Yeah.
Now you're very exposed. Now you're just trying to get your umbrella and everything. You're kind of hamstrung by the circumstances. And 4-inch hail is falling down. So in this case, thank goodness it was overnight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, it wasn't just Baldwin County. The southern tip of Baldwin County that had it bad on Saturday. Clark County apparently got it really bad as well, and not from the hail, but just from the winds from that storm. Dr. Bill was saying 70 to 80 miles an hour potentially, and I know that trees, at least in Thomasville, were blown over into homes, 7 or 8 homes.
Straight
at
line
least
wind.
Destroyed. Yeah, that's exactly right.
This is some of what Dr. Bill talked about, the rain and the hail over the weekend. Again, a lot of it at 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning. Let me try that
one
again.
One particular report.
Dr. Bill, go ahead and do it one more time.
So the very heavy rain, but the hail was a big story. One particular report down at Orange Beach with a 4-inch diameter hailstone, which is about the size of a softball, and that's the largest ever recorded in Baldwin County. And it also ties the highest one ever reported within the Mobile National Weather Service forecast area, which covers southwest Alabama, northwest Florida, and southeast Mississippi. So very unusual for hailstones to be that large. And in fact, hailstones are not quite as common here as they are in Midwest and the Great Plains, where the freezing level is much lower. And But it was an amazing sight, and particularly the strobe lightning that went on for several hours. Just continuous cloud-to-cloud flashes. It was an amazing morning.
And even up in Clark County, I saw lots of damage in Thomasville.
Oh, yes.
And they think that straight-line winds caused that damage. I mean, that seems just crazy to me that trees were blown into homes and they think it was just straight-line winds.
Wow.
I guess that's not that. Is that rare or not, Dr. Bill?
Well, the straight-line winds is the usual thing that occurs in our area with the thunderstorms. And considering the damage that occurred up there, most likely they had gusts of 70 miles per hour or maybe greater. And the instruments that are a little more numerous down here along the coast than they are farther to the north of us. But with damage like that in those northern counties in our region, that's most likely that we saw gusts of 70 plus.
Man, so your parents are usually one place or the other.
Right.
And they both got hit real bad. Clark County and Gulf Shores.
Yeah.
So where were they when all this happened?
Well, my mom is down at the beach, so I need to check in on her and see see what happened there. And then my dad right now, I believe, is in Jacksonville.
Oh, he's going to see some friends.
Jacksonville.
Okay. Okay.
So I'll have to check in with them. I don't know if our, if their house up in Clark County got damaged. It seems like it may have been even more north of Grove Hill, up in Thomasville, that the real damage came through. But some of these images from down at the beach, Sherry texted and said, my friend was down there in her camper with her girls. She's from Satsuma, and she posted about it on Facebook. It was scary. So a lot of people that were down there in campers over the weekend sure got a surprise Saturday morning.
You did not want to be in a camper.
No.
With that going on. And I mean, the people that were in the condos were traumatized.
Yeah.
Can you imagine how... And the other thing was the length of the hailstorm was longer than you would ever imagine. 10 minutes or what?
Yeah, at least 10 minutes.
Of hail battering your condo or your worst case camper.
Yeah, it wasn't fun, I'm sure, no doubt about that. Some other texts coming in here. Roger with a good reminder. He said, remember, all local Coke companies are franchises and are not always in alignment with statements made by other franchise owners or the parent company. That's a great point, because I've seen this over the years when like corporate McDonald's makes a decision and goes to the PC police or becomes PC police, and you know, conservatives see some of these corporations acting in ways that they don't agree with, when it's conservatives that have backed these businesses since the beginning and have really been wanting to be more lax on taxes and control over these corporations. So it's almost like they're stabbing conservatives in the back by coming around and pulling business out of Georgia because of these voting laws. And I saw the same thing when McDonald's corporate would make a decision and people would be upset at McDonald's as a whole. Well, for the most part, whether it's Coca-Cola or McDonald's or a number of these other businesses, they are franchise owners that are locally, you know, they're from your area. And for the most part, the franchise owners I know have been mainly conservatives who are also not happy with the way their parent company does some of this stuff.
These are business people. They're going to be conservative.
Exactly right.
I think the worst or most prominent example of that I can remember was if you owned a BP station at the time of the oil spill.
Oh, man.
BP was enemy number one.
Yeah.
And a lot of those franchisees, I'm not sure exactly, I'm not in that convenience store business, but if you can get out of your contract with BP and suddenly become a Shell station, what they did whatever they could to no longer be associated with BP, because that name was certainly mud here along the Gulf Coast, right?
I didn't even think about that.
Oh, it was rough.
That's huge.
Yeah. You would see people driving right by a BP station on purpose to not go there.
Well, one time I had a cruise fantasy credit card where I was getting points on the credit card. Someone acted like I actually owned the cruise ship. They were so upset because of the sewage overflow. Remember that one at the Mobile cruise ship?
You don't look like a cruise ship owner, Dalton. Morning from Dan, Brennan, Dalton, Orwig at 8:50, 10 minutes away from 9 o'clock on FM Talk 106.5. Jeff Poor is on the way on FM Talk 106.5. His show starts a little bit after 9 o'clock this morning.
Yeah, and plenty to get to on the Jeff Poor show. You know, they're still in session up there in Montgomery. We'll get an update from there with State Senator Arthur Orr joining Jeff in the first hour. And then in the second hour, prepare yourself for some hot takes. Dale Jackson with WVNN will join the Jeff Poor Show, and he'll wrap it up in the third hour with Jim Antle from the Washington Examiner and also State Representative Wes Allen. So lots of good information coming up on the way on the Jeff Poor Show. We'll get started here in about 15 minutes.
Antle's a really good guest. I've heard him on a lot of national shows, too. So for Jeff to get him from the Examiner is pretty cool. We got Sarah Westwood. We got audio from her talking about the Georgia voting law. That was good stuff because she's an investigative reporter and she did her work and then granted us the information. Robert's on the line, I do believe. Hey, Robert.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing great, man. How about you?
Hey, good morning, Robert. What you got for us today?
Okay, well, first of all, how you and Dan doing this morning?
Doing great, my man.
Yeah, doing well. Robert, how are you?
I'm doing okay. You all got a great show, man. I listen to you every morning.
Appreciate that a lot,
That's
buddy.
Awesome.
We actually do work on it.
Oh, yeah. You can always improve, but you all yes. agree, man.
Thank you, buddy.
Let me ask you this, too. That alcohol delivery bill was on the governor's desk Thursday, Friday. Did she sign it or what? I did not hear that.
She got drunk and forgot to sign
it. She got drunk. That's exactly right. Yeah, I haven't seen... That's not a factual news report from Dan Vernon there.
No, it was not.
Not factual.
It was just a sneaking a quick punchline.
I have not seen that the governor has signed it yet, Robert. Uh-huh. I don't know if there's a hang-up there with Governor Ivey, just like, well, every governor in Alabama has some religious roots, and this bill maybe may go against the grain in Governor Ivey's life, but it was a 28-0 vote by the Senate last week, which is unanimous. We'll see. She should be able to sign it today or tomorrow, I would imagine.
Okay, I believe she will. Now, don't you all be too abusive on her. She's doing a pretty good job.
Yes, indeed. Robert,
have a good day, okay?
I'll bring I'll go to the ABC store, bring you your first bottle of bourbon after she signs it, okay?
All right.
All right,
buddy.
Bye-bye. Yeah,
bye-bye.
What I loved about the home delivery bill, so first off, aren't we like one of the final five states, once again, to legalize something that's already legal in most of the country?
Well, you know what? This reminds me a little bit of Georgia voting in that we're making COVID-like precaution.
We changed the rules because of COVID.
Because of COVID, and this is going to be a permanent change now.
Yeah, and not just, and that brings up a great point. Not just in one aspect of society with the voting rules kind of changing and then not changing back in so many places. But you're right. Businesses from here forward are going to do things a lot differently than they ever have.
Are they going to have to disassemble all those skyscrapers in big cities where people used to work?
They now work from home. I don't know. Will they just wait until the skyscrapers are all, the infrastructure's bad on them, just let them fall away? You're right, because so many more people will be working from home now, and there was potential even before the pandemic, and that was kind of, a good reason, as good a reason as any, to stay home and not go to work. And now that people have been living their lives and so many working from home the entire time, it's like, why go back to the way things used to be?
What's the speculation in New York City? How much of the workforce is going to go back into those Manhattan skyscrapers when they haven't for a long time? I don't know if they're working now or because the virus has still been bad up there. Densely populated area. They use transit, so they're on top of each other. They all stayed home.
Yeah.
And so what happens? What happens now? I haven't heard that addressed.
No, that's a great question. How many of those skyscraper offices are sitting empty or near empty right now?
For a year.
And how far behind are those companies on their payments to the realtors that own those buildings? Great question. I'd like to see a report from New York City or somewhere else that's similar. Chicago, I imagine, would be pretty similar too. But back to the alcohol delivery bill, this is what I love about it. Is the limits to how much you can have delivered. And I think we talked about this before. So here are the rules.
I think you would flunk out of school.
Here's the rules.
They'd be like, Dalton, we can't do that.
Beer may not exceed the equivalent of 120 12-ounce containers of beer per customer. And I think these rules reset after, is it just a 24-hour rule? Yeah, it's a 24-hour window. So you can't order more than 120 12-ounce beers in one day's time. Draft beer, you cannot exceed over 288 ounces per customer. So that's just over 24 12-ounce draft beers that you can't order more than in a day. Wine, you cannot exceed 9,000 milliliters per customer. So that would be 9 liters of wine.
9 liters of wine, you get it one
right
time.
Right there in one time. Spirits, same thing.
That should be enough, right?
Yeah, spirits, you can't have more than 9,000 milliliters delivered within a 24-hour period, and restaurants, they say, might not exceed 375 milliliters per customer. So, and you also can't just order alcohol from a restaurant. So I can't call up, Ruby Tuesdays or O'Charlie's and have 10 beers delivered or 10 Jack and Cokes delivered.
They can't bring it to you like that.
No, I'd have to first off order food, and then they would limit it to whatever, 375 milliliters. But I'm looking at these other things, which if you can break that would be record breaking. If you ordered more than 120 12-ounce beers, more than 9 liters of wine, more than 9 liters of liquor, and more than like 24 draft beer, that would be the limit.
So the lady with the $1 million bill in Tennessee that tried to buy something at Dollar General with a $1 million bill.
This may be a flag.
So with that $1 million bill, she could call an ABC store. Or not a liquor store, just the ABC stores can deliver it?
No, it's any liquor store. Okay. So first off, the ABC board has to approve. So you know a little extra money is headed their way for this. They're not just letting it happen, right?
Imagine that.
Yeah.
So, but somebody could get up to the limit, and that'd be a heck of a limit.
Yeah.
So you take that $1 million bill with the picture of Jeopardy MC Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers, of course.
On the face of the bill.
Right.
And you can call up and you can get some. So the most beer you could get would be how much? Say you're just saying, all right, I just want to relax on the weekend like Dalton and have a nice time. So what's the limit on beer again?
So the limit is 120 12-ounce beers. So if you're talking in terms of cases, that'd be right around 5 cases of beer.
Okay.
That's the limit.
Okay.
Which you're over $100 there at that point.
But you if you're going to have some friends over and you're going to watch Aaron Rodgers on Jeopardy things like that, you need to have a little beer. I mean, consider the fact that you're hosting a Jeopardy party.
That's a great point. So
it's not out of line.
So if I were to invite like 4 of my friends over.
Well, 3.5.
3.5 of them over. We'd be perfectly in line.
Right in the limit.
Yeah, so,
you'd be right at the limit.
24 hours and 1 minute later, just
do
buy
it again.
5 more. That's exactly right. So I guess you're right. If I were throwing a house party, then we'd hit that limit pretty quickly.
You could.
We could.
Do your friends enjoy a cold beverage about as well as you do?
Yeah, yes, they certainly do.
Well, there you go.
It's a great point.
Do the math.
And everyone loves a cold beverage when they watch Jeopardy, right?
Because then you can break into some drunken arguments about what's the state capital of Montana?
Yeah.
Helena. No! Jeff Poore's on the way. He'll be a lot more informative than our last 9 minutes. At least Robert led us down the wrong path with the alcohol delivery question.
Yeah, it's his fault.
It wasn't us. 859 FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings, again tomorrow starting at 6.